Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. Last week, world leaders and advocates gathered at the 73rd United Nations General Assembly to address issues pertaining to peace and development, among other things. The Sustainable Development Goals were discussed as countries aimed to reach a collection of 17 goals by 2030, including healthier lives for people globally. Health experts say universal vaccine coverage is critical if the world is to meet the SDGs. However, the World Health Organization says 19.5 million people, most of them children in developing countries, did not receive routine life-saving vaccinations in 2016. On the program today, we will discuss immunization and look at a new initiative in Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast, to reach more children with vaccines. Our first guest, Dr. Orin Levine, is Director of Vaccines Delivery at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Dr. Orin Levine, thank you so much for joining us here at the Voice of America.
It's my pleasure.
You are the Director of Vaccines Delivery at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. First and foremost, can you give us a sense of what your work entails?
Sure. At the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, we have a very simple motto or vision that really drives us, which is that all lives have equal value. Knowing how important vaccines are for protecting women and children, we believe strongly that everyone deserves the right to those life-saving vaccines. And so our vaccine delivery program is focused on trying to make sure that those vaccines that can improve people's lives and protect people from serious illness are made available to everyone everywhere.
Vaccine is such a basic, it's such a basic step in public health, yet there are still some communities that do not have access to some basic vaccines. So tell us your opinion on how the world is doing with regards to vaccine coverage, especially in developing countries.
I think global vaccination is generally a really, really great story of success. It demonstrates how, with a collective effort, with a partnership of public and private sector, governments and philanthropy, international institutions, we can make incredible strides. If you look at Africa, for example, there are so many shining examples of African-led success with immunization. Smallpox no longer exists in Africa. Polio is gone. Epidemic meningitis is nearly gone. And measles deaths are 80% lower than historical levels. All of those successes in Africa, driven by Africans using immunization to reach every child and every woman who needs them everywhere, to make sure that they never suffer needlessly.
Yet there are, as I mentioned earlier again, some communities that don't have access to basic vaccine. What are some of the barriers to vaccination, especially when we look at the continent of Africa? What can you tell us about some of the main factors that hinder access to vaccination for children and people who need it?
I'm glad you're asking about this, because I do think that for all the good news about immunizations and what we have accomplished, we still also have to be very, very sober in looking at what the situation looks like for everyone. And there are still large areas of inequity, large areas where the immunization coverage is not reaching the high levels that we see across the world. And there are a number of different barriers that contribute to that. The single most important is conflict. Wherever there is conflict, it just makes it hard for health workers to reach communities and for communities to access the systems that deliver vaccines. In addition, we have learned that in communities where they may be remote or harder to reach, where there may be historical underinvestment in health systems in general and the infrastructure in general, those contribute to under-immunization. And then importantly, I think there's a demand side to this, that good immunization coverage also works best when communities understand the value of immunizing their children and their families and actively seek out immunizations as well. So we're not done. We're not declaring victory until we've got every kid everywhere reached with the full set of immunizations.
Now, there's the fact that data plays an important role in vaccine coverage. Can you explain the importance of reliable data in vaccine coverage to protect more children?
Yeah, I'm thrilled that you're asking this question because maybe not surprisingly, at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, our focus is very much on data and results. We're a results-driven organization, probably born out of the foundation's co-chairs themselves. What typically at the most basic level immunization programs struggle with is, first of all, knowing every kid that they need to reach. So making sure that no one is left out. And then because you need multiple immunizations to finish your series, in other words, you're not completely protected until you reach two or three different injections of the vaccines, they need to avoid kids getting into the program and then dropping out. So basically, in immunizations, we talk about two kinds of problems, leftouts and dropouts. Data can help you with avoiding leftouts if it can help you to visualize where the children are that you need to serve. Help healthcare workers to say, this child was born, but I haven't yet seen them, registering children and the like. It can also help with dropouts. If we know that a child got in for their first immunization, how do we make sure that they complete the immunization series? So if you take a country like Cote d'Ivoire, for example, they have a very strong program in reaching everyone at least once. About 99% of children in Cote d'Ivoire are estimated to have at least one immunization visit. But about 15% of those kids who start don't complete the immunization series. So one way data could help is by empowering health workers to keep track of the kids who got in the system and were dropping out, or by having parents reminded, oh, my child is due for their next immunization, and bringing them back in.
This is a good point that you're making. When you take the example of Cote d'Ivoire, speaking about left out and drop out, because I remember when I saw this data, I was like, are you sure? Cote d'Ivoire is kind of advanced when it comes to immunization. But then the dropout rate is where the problem is. And I think a lot of times we tend to oversee that when we talk about vaccination. Yes, children should be vaccinated once, but then what happened after that? Did you have anything to add with regards to dropouts and how we retain them, not only with data, but perhaps other interventions?
The dropout problem is one where data can really help us, because if you got into the system once, then your name, your cell phone number, your address, something that tells us how to reach you or find you should be in our data system. What I think is really exciting about where things are going in Africa right now is that data is increasingly moving off of paper and into electronic or digital systems. That allows health workers really rapid access to the data. It allows health workers to be able to plan their next day's work in order to make sure that they find a child who may be late for an immunization session and make sure that she gets caught up and she gets the complete set of immunizations. It's the use of data and, in some ways, the advantages that digital platforms are increasingly providing in Africa to do that, that I think has a lot of people really excited about what's possible for African immunization.
In that regard, in terms of addressing this issue and making things better, with Cote d'Ivoire as an example, there is the M-Vaccine Cote d'Ivoire project that was announced in January this year. Can you tell us briefly what it entails and what it is it hopes to accomplish?
First place to start in thinking about the M-Vaccine project in Cote d'Ivoire is to point out that one of the exciting parts about this is the involvement of the private sector. It's a partnership between private sector company Orange and international partnership Gavi Alliance. And at the Gates Foundation, not surprisingly, we really think that engaging private sector is an important part of unlocking the potential for improving immunization coverage in developing countries. So it's a really welcome step to see this kind of partnership forming that includes the government of Cote d'Ivoire and private sector and Gavi Alliance. In a nutshell, what the MVAC-SAM project is going to try and do is enable healthcare workers and parents using digital data available on a cell phone to either be reminded to bring their child back in for an immunization if you're a parent. Or the MVEXM project will also enable healthcare workers to have at their fingertips ready-made lists of who's due for vaccination but hasn't shown up. Who should I be reaching out to be sure that they come to the clinic the next time we have immunizations? And in both of these ways, this project is an example of using data, using digital information to try and reduce the dropout rate and make sure that every child who starts an immunization schedule finishes and becomes fully protected against all the diseases.
That's great. So then before we wrap, Dr. Levin, what is then the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's vision moving forward with regards to immunization? When we look at the Sustainable Development Goals and where we stand, what are some of the perhaps innovation that may be coming or potential projects?
At the Gates Foundation, we see routine immunization as a foundation stone of the SDGs, if you will. The tracks that we lay in the field to reach every mother and every child so that everybody's immunized are the same tracks on which you can build universal health coverage. So in many ways, we see efforts to extend the reach of immunization as essential to achieving the fundamental parts of the Sustainable Development Goals for health. We also see real opportunity right now for leveraging innovation in both technology and practices. So sometimes it's a technologic shiny object that is the key to unlocking extending immunization coverage, maybe a new way of creating digital data or new technology for preserving vaccines at the right temperature in the field. But sometimes it's also the sharing of best practices from one place to another so that everybody benefits from the wisdom that we're gaining to make sure that they're using their people, their health centers, their engagement with communities as effectively as possible to reach everyone everywhere with a simple package of vaccines that is in some ways leading edge of providing a package for universal health coverage.
Okay, Dr. Orin Levin, thank you so much for joining us.
Lenore, thank you so much for having me.
And that was Dr. Orin Levin. He is Director of Vaccines Delivery at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Well, it's time to take a short break. When we come back, we will take a look at the new initiative, M-Vaccine Project in Côte d'Ivoire, that aims to close the vaccine gap in the country. But first, it is time for the news with Camilla Tom.
Seven in 10 people worldwide die from cardiovascular diseases, cancer, diabetes, and chronic lung diseases, according to a study published in The Lancet earlier this month. 3 years ago, world leaders pledged to reduce premature deaths from these non-communicable diseases by one-third by the year 2030. During the United Nations General Assembly in New York last week, World Health Organization Director General Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus said less than half of the world's countries will meet that target, urging world leaders to recommit to these goals. The Lancet report estimates that over the next 15 years, the cost of non-communicable diseases to developing countries alone is projected to total more than $7 trillion. The 2018 Nobel Prize for Physiology or Medicine has been awarded to James Allison of the University of Texas and Tetsuku Honjo of Japan's Kyoto University for their discoveries in cancer therapy. The Nobel Assembly at Sweden's Karolinska Institute said in a statement on awarding the prize, quote, Allison and Honjo showed how different strategies for inhibiting the brakes on the immune system can be used in the treatment of cancer. The Prize for Physiology or Medicine is first Nobel Prize awarded each year. The prize comes with an award of $1.1 million. Tuberculosis is a vicious epidemic that is drastically underfunded. That was a takeaway message from the first high-level meeting focused on the infectious disease at the UN General Assembly in New York. Amina Mohammed, UN Deputy Secretary General, said the disease is fueled by poverty, inequality, migration, and conflict, and that an additional $13 billion per year is needed to get the disease under control. Last year, tuberculosis killed more people than any other communicable disease, more than 1.3 million men, women, and children. The World Health Organization estimates that the 10 million people who become newly infected each year live mostly in poor countries with limited access to health care. And that's a wrap-up of your latest health news.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing immunization on Health Chat. Recently, the World Health Organization and UNICEF released the 2017 JRF report, which revealed that 1 in 5 of Côte d'Ivoire's children does not receive the full course of basic vaccines. Children in hard-to-reach areas of the country are being missed with vaccines because their parents do not receive enough information about the importance of immunization or they live far from a health center. Well, a new initiative, M-Vaccine Project, by Orange, a mobile network in Côte d'Ivoire, the Gavi Alliance and Côte d'Ivoire's government aims to address the issue. I spoke to Marie-Ange Sarakayao. She is Managing Director, Resource Mobilization and Private Sector Partnerships at Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance. Take a listen. Marie-Ange Sarakayao, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Fantastic. You are working with Gavi, the Gavi Alliance. Would you please give us a sense of what your work entails?
Yeah, sure. I'm in charge of resource mobilization investments at Gavi. So basically, Gavi is this unique public-private partnership that was set up in 2000 to help address the low rates of immunization in developing countries. The particular aspect about Gavi is that it brings an alliance and it brings together the business acumen of the private sector to solve problems together with the expertise of health agencies like WHO, UNICEF, and implementing countries and donor governments. So the way Gavi works is that it gathers the demand of 73 countries, which are typically low-income countries. And with that, you know, it's able to negotiate with vaccine manufacturers so that they develop the type of vaccines that are needed in these countries. So they accelerate production, but also speed up the production to be able to bring vaccine at a sustainable price. And in that process, my work is actually to fundraise so that we give comfort to vaccine manufacturers and countries that the money is there predictable so that they can embark on immunization programs that are often long-term and for vaccine manufacturers so that they can embark on, you know, investments for facilities for vaccine and for late research and development. So as such, I work with sovereign governments but also the private sector to bring their expertise and investments. And particularly companies like Orange.
It's interesting you said Orange because there is this new partnership that launched this year with Orange, Gavi, and Ministry of Health in Côte d'Ivoire to help children in some communities have access to vaccination. Can you tell us a little more about this project, which is called the M-Vaccine Côte d'Ivoire?
Definitely. It's really a very exciting project. The idea behind this project is that thanks to Gavi, we have seen an increased immunization coverage in low-income countries, including Côte d'Ivoire, over the past 18 years. And actually, this year, Gavi would have immunized 700 million children worldwide since it's born. And with that success, now we are really looking at how we can deepen the coverage in more remote areas. The project in Côte d'Ivoire is exactly about this. It's actually tackling the coverage of 29 districts in Côte d'Ivoire where the immunization rates are lower than the average in the country. And the project is meant to really send SMS reminders to the caregivers of the child, the mother and the parents. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, they are reminded to first bring the children to the health center and as often as necessary for the first, second or third dose so that the children can be protected. Because what we have noticed is that there is this, you know, sometime between the first and the second and third dose, there's a drop in coverage. And it's often either because the parents are not aware that the kids need to follow that schedule, but also they need to be reminded. And so in a sense, it helps them be reminded, but also plan their visit to the health center. And, you know, access, so it really, a partnership with Orange, that is a mobile company in a sense, is critical because access to information and immunization is really of critical importance. And we see it more and more as we witness, unfortunately, outbreaks around the world. Sometimes it really hinges on having the right information system to reach the people so that they can be informed in time to be protected.
Now, what has been driving the project when you look at from a global perspective? What is the driver behind the project?
From a global perspective, the driver is this intent, this objective of Gavi between 2016 and 2020 to accelerate coverage and equity. In a sense, in its first 15 years of existence, Gavi has really focus on making the vaccine available to countries, whereas before it was not available. Before it was taking 10 years when a vaccine was available in the US or in France to reach low-income countries. So it was unnecessary death for children for disease where you had the vaccines. So the role of Gavi has been really to incentivize the production from vaccine manufacturers at a sustainable price and really to be able to bring the vaccine rapidly to the countries. And this has been a success, as I was saying. So now the vaccine are coming to the countries, but now you need, once in country, you need to be able to expand to the areas that are more remote, which are often the most difficult, either for geographical reasons, for infrastructure, or for a series of reasons. So the idea behind this is to really focus on data collection, SMS reminders, and actually better inform the parents and remind them so that they can get their kids protected.
So this also goes to show that you reach a point where one can no longer rely on traditional methods. You have to think about innovation. Because if you think about the children that don't have access to vaccination, yes, we look at the fact that there are, a lot of them are in low and middle income countries. A lot of them come from poor communities or communities that are not necessarily economically well off. But it's not always about the money, right? It's sometimes it's about the approach. It's about finding ways that would fit within that particular community, right?
Exactly. No, I think you say it perfectly. It's not about the money because, as I said, the role of Gavi has been to bring the vaccines at the lowest possible price. So, you know, in a sense, prices have dropped tremendously thanks to Gavi. So that hurdle has been overcome. Now, indeed, it's about the reach. Mm-hmm. Reaching rural communities, and sometimes it's even urban communities. So it's really finding the people where they are. In fact, the explosion of digital tools and mobile penetration in most of the world, especially in Africa, is a fantastic opportunity. So we want to take that opportunity to expand the reach. And as you know, in most of these countries, everyone has a mobile phone. Every single person has a mobile.
Yes.
And that's a perfect way of actually reaching out, using the power of digital tools to support the most isolated population.
Very interesting. So tell us more about the implementation of this project. I know that it's set to run for 5 years. When does it start? How many children are scheduled to be reached?
So the project is about to start in October. Basically, the project will cover the 29 health districts that have the lowest coverage levels and that are below the national average. So it is a concern. In a sense, it's really to tackle this persistent barrier to the use of immunization. It will have three components: data collection, SMS reminders, and most importantly, even these SMS reminders will be in local language and vocal, so to overcome some of the barriers sometimes with literacy. And it allows really for any pregnant woman, newborn, child to be enrolled via mobile at a health facility by a community health worker that will capture the data and is then able to regularly contact the recipient to remind them of the immunization schedule of the baby or the person in question.
Very interesting.
And so the project indeed will run for 5 years and is meant to cover a little bit more than 800,000 children.
Okay.
So it's quite impressive when you look at the birth cohort of Côte d'Ivoire.
You know, something I find fascinating is the fact that there is a high rate of children being vaccinated, you know, in Côte d'Ivoire in a general sense.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to returning and following up with other vaccines, that's a serious problem, you know. And I just found it like the fact that many parents know they have to get that first vaccine and then coming back for follow-up or, you know, continuing with other vaccination. That's where there is a big gap. It's really fascinating.
No, and that's why really the idea is that each caregiver will receive at least 4 times a year a sensitization messages and on top of really receiving the reminder when the schedule for the particular dose of the next vaccine is due.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, it is very important because unless all the schedule is done, in a sense you may have done it once, it's useless. You have to do all of them
mm-hmm.
to have the child fully protected.
Yes, yes.
And we are all often reminded with outbreaks and so on that actually this needs to happen. Outbreaks happen because actually this full immunization is not there.
Well, before we wrap, Orange is bringing the technology. Gavi is bringing the vaccines. What about the role of the Ministry of Health?
Well, the role is a fantastic role because it's first a role of leadership. The ministry was Côte d'Ivoire was the first country, Swiss Minister of Health, to really want to use the prevalence of mobile technology to address this particular concern. And so it's really admirable for this. And they are really the one implementing. You know, Gavi, in a sense, supports the ministry, brings the vaccine. But the people who do the work, as I said, are the community health workers.
Mm-hmm.
And they are from the health system of Côte d'Ivoire. And they are the one who actually first made the evaluation to say, look, we need this type of technology in this particular area because it's lower than the average rate. And really work with us. It took us a year, really, with my team, the Orange team, working with them to look at exactly how it will work, to adapt it to the local circumstances. So they are really the champion. We are there to support.
Okay. And before we wrap, Marie-Ange Sarakayao, anything else you would like to add just to enlighten us on this project or maybe the work of Gavi?
Well, no, definitely. We are really hopeful that we can expand this type of model and technology to other countries because it's really important, not just, again, for children, but in terms of outbreaks and epidemics. And unfortunately, we see quite a few of it in the region. So we are really excited about the power of technology in reaching to people, in sensitizing them.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us. Check us out on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. I'm your host, Linor Moudou in Washington, with producer Bonsa Tufa, Camila Tom with the news, and Alfredo, our engineer. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News. I'm Liz Powell.